The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side in issue number 109, Wonder Woman 1984, coming to HBO Max, day and date releases the theater. John, what's your favorite part of this episode? If John was still here, John would say, our Mandalorian talk, Deej, we had a great conversation at the end, and I brought up a fantastic point on what the next episode is going to be like, but you'd have to stay around for spoilers when we do our Kryptonite Key Club. Right, Deej? And I would say, yeah, John, that was a great point. We had a couple of snafus at the end. We got a little bit out of our sync, so we forgot to record this part. So John hung up, but I just played the role perfectly as John, and I'm sure he'll be happy to hear this. So, John, what do you think? Yeah, thank you. That was awesome, John, as always. Hey, let's get into the store, because this is a great... We got so much to get to. Such a long episode, but such a great time. Lots of action. I got here. All right, I hope you had your caffeine, because my Twitter thumbs are out of energy. Are you ready to go?
Yep, I'm ducking because you're coming in hot.
So. Oh, you saw my tweet.
I don't want to. Yeah, I already got a haircut this week. I don't need anything else buzzed off the top of my head.
Yeah, you're looking good. You look looking young, John. You're stumped. Yeah,
yeah. You cut all the gray
dead
off.
Dead silence.
Like, I am. Cuts all the gray off.
I think your camera's broken, Deej.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what you're looking at, but.
Oh, man. Have we ever had, with the exception of literally going to see Endgame, coming home, and recording our first reactions to Endgame, have we ever had anything this big drop right before we record? I can't think of
I guess you think more of it than I do.
I knew you would say that.
I don't have that big of a reaction, but, as much of a reaction to it as you.
I know, but, that, and it's so funny because Jen and I were talking just before we got on, and she's like, "Be careful, because you know John might not have the same reaction as you." And I was like, "No, I understand yeah. that. I get that." And a lot of people probably don't have the reaction that I'm having, but do you acknowledge the ramifications this has for movie theaters, for theater going in general? Moving to the future, how does this play out? Like, all right, do you plan on going to the theaters to see it? And you know, both of us go to the theaters, right?
Yes, I'm going. I'm going to the theaters.
Right.
And you're going to the theaters.
I will.
So.
Which will you do first?
I'll go to the theaters first.
Really? I think I'm going to watch it at home first, and then I'll go to the theater. Because I don't know if I'll go Christmas Day, but I can't sit there.
Well, I probably won't go Christmas Day either, but I will see it in the theater first, strictly because HBO Max does not have 4K or Atmos, and I don't want to spoil
this recording.
As of this recording, but I don't want to spoil my first experience with it with a substandard presentation. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go to the theater first. I'll watch it several times after that at home, I'm sure, but. I don't know. Like, I don't know that this is obviously the biggest movie that
to ever do this.
that's doing this, right? Because Mulan was a big deal, but it's not Wonder Woman. But I don't know that this sets. Like, I don't know that this sets the precedent going forward forever.
Well, it depends on how it reacts.
Hopefully, at some point. Right, but hopefully at some point we get out of this pandemic and we open all our theaters back up again. And then I don't know that Warner Brothers would do that the next time if they had the option not to do it. You know what I mean? because they're going to give up a big chunk. They're going to, you know, they're going to give up a chunk of money for this. Now, like was commented on Twitter, you know, HBO Max just dropped on the Fire Stick like 2 days ago,
yeah.
Which, you know, it was not previously available. So, right, there are millions of Fire Stick users that are going to
Mark with the big
sign
C
up to HBO Max.
71 million
right.
Amazon Fire Stick users. Now, that doesn't mean that they're all like, that's all they use, because I have two Fire Sticks.
Exactly.
You know, so there's.
Right.
So, but say they got half of those for a month. Just for the month of December, that's over $500 million.
Right, but now let's say 6 months from now or a year from now, whatever the next big release is, and you know, we don't know what it's going to be yet. They don't get the same bump again because most of those people will have already signed up for HBO Max at that point. You know what I mean? And they won't get the bump a second time around. So I think that. Going forward, you know, let's assume that movie theaters even survive and that there's movie theaters to go to.
That's a possibility, yes.
That's a possibility. But if there are theaters and there are places to go, I don't think this overtakes the theater experience yet. I do believe that there is a point in the future and maybe the near future where it does and everything goes to some kind of streaming service, but I don't know that this movie gets us there just yet. I think this is a product.
Well,
of
this is the first step.
The pandemic,
right?
You know,
this will be the beginning. This is what we will point to as the beginning. Mulan will not be pointed to as the beginning now because that was a $30 pay per view.
Right. This is
or
this
pay
is
to
free,
own.
Quote unquote free because
right. With a subscription.
Because, you know, you'll have your subscription.
Right.
The other thing, too, though, is a lot of people, a lot of Fire Stick users, even though they didn't have the ability to watch this on their Fire Stick, they still have their free subscription through some other services. Because, you know,
right.
HBO Max, everybody's getting HBO Max for free if they have any kind of connection to AT&T. So it's giving them an opportunity to have an outlet to watch their subscription that they've probably already had for 4 or 5 months and they haven't been able to use yet.
Possible.
So
yep.
That doesn't mean they're all going to go out and sign up for new subscriptions. Because I would imagine a certain percentage of them have a subscription already that they just weren't able to use yet.
But how many people don't have HBO Max and would potentially buy it just for the month? I mean, that's, you know, it's like, how much does that boost them? That's what's going to be fun about this. There's nothing set in stone here. There's no, you know, before this news dropped, I was like, this is crazy because they avoided Endgame and postponed this movie a year so that they would make more money. Then COVID hit. And now they're going to, and I'm like, how does that make business sense? But then seeing that number, especially when Mark put out that tweet saying 71 million subscribers from Amazon, I'm like, okay, well, I can see some method to the madness here, but that all has to play out in like a perfect scenario for them to make their money back.
Right. But it's no coincidence that they struck a deal with Amazon this week, and then they made this announcement this week.
Right. And like, you know, I said, like, to Mark about Roku, I'm sure they probably already have a deal with them, and that's coming soon, because if they don't, Roku's like, all right, we want more money now, otherwise you're not getting our 40 million subscribers.
Well, it's coming soon, but right. Roku, they had a statement today saying that there was a deal, like they're right. Working on it, but it's not ready to go yet.
Ready to launch, but I'm sure they have a deal in place. Yet.
I'm still not sold that this happens on Christmas Day in the theaters to begin, you know, still.
Well, I think they're going to do.
I mean, obviously with them doing this, it makes more sense for them to try to stick to it. But I don't know. I still think there is a world where this all gets pushed again.
I don't think they're going to push this now. I of obviously, you know what camp I was in 6 hours ago. Right. But this right now, I don't think they're pushing it, because from the articles that I've read, is they're not even expecting a big box office number out of the United States. They're going, this is only being dropped HBO Max in the States. The rest of the world is getting the theatrical release, because I guess there's more theaters open around the world than there are in the United States. So they're going to bank on the, you know, foreign box office, the domestic HBO box office, and combine those two to come up with whatever number they get. Right now, as of today, if it dropped today in theaters, I'd be able to go. But the way this state is going, I'm not confident theaters will be open on Christmas Day here. So
yeah, it's possible they won't hear either.
So, you know, we don't know. But with this announcement, I think if they had any intention of pushing this date further, they wouldn't even have made this announcement. Because that's going to – what that's going to do is just really piss off a lot of HBO Max subscribers if they
postpone that. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this
– but again, if they shut – you know, if the United States shuts down all the theaters, then, you know, that might change things, you know.
Well, like I said,
you know, I don't know, because again, we're talking worldwide, you know, you're talking about the worldwide box office, but like where, like Europe is closed again. So they're not going to show it in Europe. It's like, I don't know what overseas box offices they're banking on either.
The articles that I've read is,
well, I know, but what I'm saying is I don't know what they're banking on either, because a lot of these other countries aren't open either.
Right.
So they're not open it to any greater degree than we are. So I think it would play out the same just about anywhere.
You'd think. I don't know. COVID might shut down theaters for December or whatever. This movie, and you touched on it earlier, could be the nail in the coffin to shut down theaters in general. Because if this you and I both will go to see this in the theater if a theater is available. But a lot of people may have gone if it was only available in the theater, but a lot of people wouldn't even have gone. They would have just waited. Even if that's their only choice, they would not go. We know Nick wouldn't go. I don't think Martin would go. They've said it on the Nerdy Legion. They don't go to theaters. They don't feel comfortable. I get that. But now where you give this option, how many people a lot of people don't want to go to the theaters when there's no COVID. They'd rather just stay home and watch it on HBO Max. What does this do to theaters? What are theater owners thinking right now?
I'm sure they're not thrilled. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're not thrilled by it.
That's why I think this can change the landscape substantially, because we had a discussion on my home theater podcast with all the home theater guys. It actually comes out next week. But one of the things we talked about is actually theater going, and how this COVID has kind of accelerated the idea of, you know, day and date releases, which is what Wonder Woman is doing, and what that pressure is going to do is we think it's going to change, like, the theater experience, because the theaters are going to have to compete for us to come in. They're going to have to create a better environment. They're going to have to, you know, do something to attract us aside from the movie. They're going to have to make it a nicer place to be. So, I mean, we could get a better in-theater experience out of all of this in the long run, but that's going to take some time.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. Like, what could they do? What could a theater ever do that would make it more comfortable and appealing than your home? You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing they can do that's going to make it a better environment than your house. So, you know, you're banking on the bigger screen and the Atmos or the digital Dolby digital theaters and the 4K or 4DX rumbling in your seats.
Right.
I want it to rain on me and I want it to smell like burning rubber. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you can do in a theater that you can't do at home. But I mean, there's nothing they can do to make it nicer than, you know, me being able to put my feet up and, you know, be in my underwear and pause it to go to the bathroom. And, you know, like,
I do not want that option at a movie theater. Like, I am not.
Exactly. Exactly. Nothing's going to make it more comfortable than your home. So, you know, they have to make it.
My eyeballs.
You know, it's really, it's the video and the audio component that, again, we've already discussed. Most people don't care about.
Right.
you know?
Yeah. We have it in our home. We probably right. have it better than the theater, but we still like going to the theater. We still like that environment. Yes. What can they improve? They can improve, you know, concession prices. They can do something. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if it's streaming, they could stream it there for free and they don't have to pay for it so they can lower costs. Right. I don't know. You know, like, why don't they just stream HBO Max at the theater?
Exactly.
It's like, well, okay. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, it's like, this is going to be the first step in what, who knows what the landscape's going to look like a year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's like, I mean, I don't want to give away the whole podcast because everybody had different ideas, but there's going to be a lot of changes just because they have to. It's, and yeah. we'll see. I mean, the other option is this completely flops, but I don't see that happening.
I don't
especially
either.
On I mean, Christmas I don't Day. I can't even imagine the numbers. I can't wait to hear the numbers, because how many people are going to get up Christmas morning, do their Christmas thing, and then everybody's going, what else are you doing in this pandemic on Christmas Day? That's why I'm saying I have no problem with my family coming down in our feety pajamas and cranking up the theater and watching Wonder Woman. I mean, what the heck? And then go to the theater, compare it, come home and watch it again. It's like,
right.
It's
yeah, I don't know. If I have the option to go to a theater, I will go there first and watch it at home, you know. I'll probably go the 26th to the theater and see it. Although, again, who knows? Because I don't know what we're doing for Christmas. Like, for Thanksgiving is next week, and half the family isn't coming because right. they don't want to be around the big crowd. So, you know, we're going to have half the people that we normally have.
Oh.
By the time Christmas rolls around, I mean, Lydia and I might just be staying home by ourselves.
Right.
And if that's the case, well, then on Christmas Day, I'm going to be in the theater watching Wonder Woman.
Right.
You know?
That could be a possibility.
So, you know, it just depends, because I don't know how many people are even going to want to get together
right.
for Christmas.
And to be honest with you,
the way they're going,
there's probably going to be less people in the theater than there will probably be in my theater.
Right.
Because my neighbors would probably be more comfortable coming over here to watch it than they would be going to the theater. But I don't know. I'm very excited for this, as you can tell. I mean, I live in my I have a theater. I've had a theater for 30 years. It's like, I love this stuff. Right. And, you know, as long as we've been doing this podcast, I've pretty much done a 180. I never thought this would happen. I dreaded the day this would happen. And to be honest with you, I am really excited for it. I think this is going to be fun. I feel bad for theater owners. It's a horrible, horrible thing, because whether you're like a big, huge chain, like, you know, Regal or whatever, or you're the little guy that has a theater and you're like, oh crap, who the hell's going to come here now? Because by the, Wonder Woman would never be small enough to hit those little ones now, because it's already at home. Who's going to do that?
Right.
But things change, you know, and you have to adjust. And I feel bad for those people that have to do that. But I mean, take the good with the bad, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know. Like, I don't know that this is specifically the harbinger of like things to come, because I think a lot of it is just necessity. Like, this is not Warner Brothers' first choice of what they wanted to happen.
Right.
It's their desperation Hail Mary, because, you know, there's 3 seconds left on the clock and there's no timeouts left, and they've got to do something to get some money this year with this movie. You know, again, if everything opens back up a year from now, I don't know that this would be their choice to do it again. And, you know, with the next big movie,
it depends on how it does. And maybe they try something again when everything's open. I think the feeling I get, you and I, you know, we're in the minority. And
yeah, of course, because again, most people will just watch it
at home,
stream it from HBO Max on their phone and watch it while they're in their car driving to the grocery store in 10-minute intervals and take 3 days to watch it.
Right.
And they'll be fine.
Right.
Because they don't care. You know, you and I don't want to do it that way.
Right. But, so our vote is like, doesn't matter. We like completely right, outvoted.
Like, right.
So
we're like Rhode Island, you know?
So. I'm picking on those poor people.
Yeah. They get like one electoral vote.
Hey, don't forget me. Oh, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I think it's going to be, not only is Christmas Day going to be a blast, but all the numbers coming out afterwards, seeing how this plays out is going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, and just seeing what happens. Now, if this does really well, what happens with Black Widow? Do they bump that up? Do they, you know, does it make Disney look silly for charging $30 for Mulan? It's, yeah, you know, I don't know. Cause we don't know what those numbers were. I haven't seen them. I don't know if any.
Well, they'll never tell. You know, right. They'll never release.
So,
them,
so I we'll, don't know.
We'll never know, really.
I mean, the numbers they're going to get out of Wonder Woman on Christmas Day, that's like the only day of the year in a pandemic that you could probably get these kind of numbers. I mean, it's like the perfect storm for this. We've been waiting, well, almost 2 years for Wonder Woman, been waiting, I mean, this since March for a decent movie to hit theaters again. Tenet wasn't that movie. It's a great movie, but it's not that movie. You know, it's not going to flock people to the theaters. But This is, I don't know, it's kind of crazy, to be honest with you. I don't know. So, all right. Is that enough?
I think so. Glad you got that off your chest, man.
I still have so much. I could talk about it all night, but luckily I have another podcast that I'll get to rant all by myself, to myself. Yeah. Hopefully.
You can come in as hot as you want.
All right. We've got, and we had a huge week to begin with for news.
We
have quite a bit of stuff. We got a lot of books bunch of stuff to get to tonight. It's going to be fun. We got Kryptonite Key Club because we got Mandalorian finally had a great episode that actually had some reveal and everything. So we'll
some spoilers.
Yeah, we'll get to that at the end. We'll do our quick Mandalorian minute later. But what do you want to start off with now that we've wasted all this time talking about Wonder Woman?
Well, I guess we'll keep it with HBO Max. We've got some casting news for the Peacemaker series that they're doing on HBO Max. Looks like joining John Cena will be Danielle Brooks, who was on Orange is the New Black for Netflix, and Robert Patrick of Terminator, you know, Terminator 2 fame.
Terminator 2, Scorpion. TV show on CBS. That was good.
Yeah. So yeah, really good. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen Orange is the New Black, so I don't know who Danielle Brooks is. But, you know, obviously we all know who Robert Patrick is. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, shaping up to, you know, it looks good. You know, shaping up to be something that, I'm looking forward to watching. Yeah.
Is Constantine, is that also for HBO Max? Constantine 2, or is that just a movie?
No. Well, so, yeah, that dropped this week also. It looks like Constantine 2 is in the works with Keanu Reeves set to reprise his role. So, no, I think that's a theatrical release.
Who knows?
Was teased by this was teased by I can't remember his name. He played the villain in the original one. Posted something on his Twitter this week, more or less confirming that they're working on it. Constantine 2. So, you know, that's got a cult following. Like, I didn't think that movie was all that successful the first time around.
Mm.
I think this is more on the back of Keanu Reeves being, you know, just white hot now.
Right.
Because of all the John Wick and everything he's doing. Because the movie itself, you know, wasn't a big success and didn't really, I don't think, warranted a sequel. But
I also think it came out at a time when Constantine wasn't at the forefront of everybody. Like, a lot of people don't know who that was. They just thought, they didn't even know it was a DC property. They, you know, it was just a movie and people didn't go to see it. I think now with all of the, you know, CW and all of the stuff that's going, you know, all the information that people have gathered over the years, it's like, hey, why don't we revisit that and bring somebody that's white hot back?
I liked it personally.
Yeah, I own it.
But it wasn't, but it wasn't a huge success. So,
right.
So yeah, this was a bit of news because I hadn't really heard, like, this was news to me. I had not even heard rumblings of this until this week. So, so that's cool. Hey, it looks like January 15th is the new 2020. Because WandaVision.
Apparently. Oh, you're going over to that. Premiere. I was going to stay with HBO Max, but okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll jump. That's us.
Yeah, I just jumped on.
right.
So WandaVision got its premiere date
of
January
thing.
15th. And, you know, that flies in the face of, you know, we'll get it in 2020.
Right. I told you, John, we forecasted this a couple of months ago. They're postponing New Year's.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be fair, it's probably only moved like 3 weeks later than we were going to get it to begin with.
Still not
because
2020.
We probably weren't getting it. Yeah, we probably weren't getting it till the end of December anyways. But I just thought that was funny. That
right.
It was like, oh, premiere date, January 15th. That's not 2020.
Yeah. But, John, the way this year is gone, we don't know. That may be 2020.
Honestly, I'm just happy to have a concrete
date.
You know, I can't wait to watch
this. Well, speaking of that, Brian Detrani, one of our followers and follows us on Instagram. I follow him as well. He sent us a video of Jeremy Renner starting his training again. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the video?
No, but I've seen a couple of bits of news with him popped up this week.
He was in this video. He's like squatting down into his gym bag. And it's just a really quick video of him open up his bag with all like little weights and, you know, exercise bands and stuff. And he's like, time to get at it again. And you're just like, oh, all right. Yeah, cool. So judging by what I've heard in the past from people, you know, how they have to get in shape, it's usually they start about 2 to 3 months before filming. So sometime early 2021, you know, or you know, late 2020. If it gets extended.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that seems really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like they're going to adapt the comic storyline and maybe he's going to lose his sight.
Oh, cool.
Is one of the rumors I heard for this show, which could play into Kate Bishop, obviously.
I thought he already, you know, what, didn't they the allude picture. To that in the movie, in the movies as well? I thought they.
I don't remember. I don't recall. But
there was one. Well, in Avengers, they open it in Avengers with him saying, "I see better from afar."
Right.
Remember, because he's up on the catwalk in the opening scene of Avengers, and Nick Fury comes in. He's like, "What are you doing up there?" And he goes, "I see better from afar," kind of alluding to that a little bit. I thought there was another reference to it in the movies as well, like maybe he was losing it or something, but
there might have been, but yeah, you know, it makes sense because that, you know, that was a really popular storyline in the books, and you know, it would make sense that they would want to kind of follow that up with the show. So
yeah, isn't there one part where Stark gives him his vision back?
That, in the comic?
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I knew.
I thought there was one part where Stark actually invented something for him to be able to see again or something like that.
Never read a lot of Hawkeye, honestly. I mean, there's a great, you know, Matt Fraction had a great run with the character that's been really popular, but I didn't read it.
I think maybe I'm messing it up with another character, but I thought there was something like that, but oh well.
I mean, Stark does. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be tough to do in the movies now.
Yeah, true.
Although Stark's pretty smart. He could have been working on it already.
That's right.
And it's in the garage.
It's in the garage. Yeah, it's in the garage with the rescue suit that his daughter found. But his wife didn't.
A bunch of people are going, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah.
It was a contentious moment, people.
It was.
Oh,
go back and listen.
Yep.
So,
You want to stay with Disney?
Yeah, you wanted to stay with you wanted to stay with HBO Max. So,
all right, let's go back to HBO Max.
What did you want to bring up? Because I don't have any more HBO Max news.
Well, we got Sylvester Stallone and Suicide Squad.
That's Warner Brothers.
But the HBO awesome. Max one I was going to talk about was the, did you see the black and white Snyder Cut trailer?
I did.
What'd you think? Well,
I think I already saw it 2 months ago in color.
Right.
Because, like, it was literally the exact same trailer that we already had,
yeah.
Except they made it black and white.
Did you read all?
I don't know what all the hype was about.
Well, did you read the? Of course, probably not. Did you read any of the articles and stuff about why it's coming out in black and white and like what Snyder said, why he's releasing it in black and white? And there's actually going to be a black and white version that we're gonna similar to like Logan Noir and you know.
Yeah, no, I didn't read any of that.
So
because it couldn't fit in the headline.
It's in his mind and in his heart. This is what Snyder is saying is like he is always envisioning this in black and white because for years, this is the only way he saw it was in his own theater. Like that's all he had was a black and white version. So he would like to do it like this. So that's why he's putting this out. I like the cut. I think it looks cool.
I liked it too, but I just liked it also when I saw it in color.
Right.
2 months ago. Like I was just looking for something that I hadn't already seen. And it wasn't. It was really just the same trailer. Somebody has said there was additional footage, but I didn't.
No, there's additional footage in the movie, but yeah.
Well, no, but I'm saying somebody said there was differences in the two trailers, but I don't think there was. To me, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it was exactly what we had already seen. And you know me in watching trailers.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of trailers, I know.
I really surprised that I watched it at all, because once I watch a trailer, I generally don't watch any more because I don't like to have things spoiled. But
you did already see the movie.
Well, right. I've seen the movie. So
you've seen the 2 hour trailer for the 4 hour movie.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Did you see I can't remember what it was. Never mind. But there also he put out that there's around 2.5 hours of unseen footage. And this in that is including 4 to 5 minutes of additional photography they've done since then. Also,
right? Yes. Apparently, all the reshoots only equate to about 5 extra minutes.
Right. Well, reshoots necessarily. That could just be reshooting in a scene we've already seen too.
Right.
So, but they said additional photography containing Joker and Deathstroke, and that comes from
Trent. So
that's
apparently
pretty cool.
Apparently, the look of the Joker is going to change also. I read an article somewhere saying, I read an article somewhere saying that his look is going to be radically different than what we saw in Suicide Squad.
So how crazy is this story going to be? Because I don't mean it's a crazy story. I'm sorry. I mean, like, how much radically different than the story that we got? Because where do you fit them in? Like, why would you even have Joker in this story?
He wasn't part of the original idea either.
Right.
Like, this is something that came to Zach during the reshoots, I guess, for this specifically. So I'm curious how they're working him in.
Exactly.
It's probably just a flashback that Batman's going to have to something. Like, I don't know that he's going to have a key role, especially since they're only really shooting 4 additional minutes.
Right.
And he wasn't part of the original cut. So even if he was all of the 4 additional minutes, that's still a pretty small percentage of a 4 hour movie. So I don't expect him to have much of an impact in what happens. I think it's probably just a flashback scene that Bruce has, to the Joker at one point.
Elaborate on what we've already seen from, you know, in the movies with the Robin suit and everything like that. So, I mean.
Right. And I would imagine it's probably just a scene of him.
It's pretty cool because that's like, why is that showing up? And.
Well, but that plays into at least the stinger scene at the end of.
Yes.
Justice League. You
right.
know?
True.
So, I mean, he was he was intended to be part of the movie all along where Joker wasn't.
Well, he's intended, you know, yeah, to be a part of.
He was always supposed to be part of the trilogy, quote unquote,
right?
At some point. And so how he works in, but you know, we do know that there was footage shot because we saw the test, you know, the test footage or images from it years ago when they before this movie came out. So
right.
There is stuff that exists with him already that was cut from, you know, the Whedon version that we'll probably get in.
Yeah, who played him?
It's Joe Manganiello.
Oh, that's it, Manganiello. Yep.
Yeah.
It's. Did you hear that Snyder hasn't committed to anything about like Justice League 2, any kind of a sequel or anything
But The Rock wants in. Well, I read something today actually where he said that he would be very skeptical of there being a 2 or 3 or any additional
which is kind of what he said about the Snyder follow cut for up a couple of years too.
Well, I don't think it's because he wouldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, I think if they came to him and said, look, this was wildly successful on HBO Max and we want you to do more, then I'm sure he's down for it. But I think in his mind, he doesn't expect it to go any further.
Right.
So,
Well, I think he doesn't want to get his hopes up. He doesn't want to get our hopes up. He's like, hey, we'll see what happens, you know. And that's exactly where I was going. It's like he's not committing to it, but he's also not saying no. But right. There is talk of The Rock, who, you know, he hasn't worked in a couple hours, so he's really interested in coming in as Black Adam for that. So that would be really cool. Really
sure.
cool. All right. Now we can move back over to Disney Plus again, if you'd like, or Disney,
Disney
in general.
Yeah, so it looks like we're not going to get a digital Chadwick Boseman for Black Panther 2. Disney confirmed that they're not interested in pursuing any kind of, digital recreation of Chadwick.
Okay, so. But does that mean we don't get a black, we're not going to get a digital Chadwick Boseman, but do we get a Black Panther suit that's supposed to be that character?
I don't think so.
You sure? I've heard rumors that they're going to kill him off at the beginning, like the character, so that the sister can take over. And then
it's somebody else.
T'Challa
right, maybe
will
it's
die,
any,
and then she'll
be
take
anybody
over.
Else in the suit, right. There, obviously, Black Panther 2 was set to start shooting early 2021. So, like, Chadwick probably had a script for this when he passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously now the plans have to change radically, but they're not looking to go forward, you know, like I said, trying to make the same movie they were going to make with, you know, any kind of digital recreations. Yes, the theory is that the character will probably die off screen. I'm not sure that we'll see anybody in the suit. I think we'll just find out that he died somehow when the movie opens.
That seems
and then
weird.
They'll do whatever they do from there.
Would you be offended? Like, I wouldn't find it offensive if they had somebody in the suit open the movie and, you know, die in an opening scene. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either because, you know, again, let's say Robert Downey Jr. died. Like, or what's his name? Pedro Pascal. Like, you could still do The Mandalorian without Robert Downey Jr. or Pedro Pascal because anybody can wear the suit. Hell, in The Mandalorian, everybody else does wear the suit. He's never even in it. So, like, you could find anybody with a similar body type to put on the Black Panther suit and never take his mask off or really speak. You know, and just die in a battle scene at the beginning. And yeah, you're right. I don't find it disrespectful either. I would find it disrespectful to see a digital recreation of him in the movie. You know, because I had a problem with it last year when they were talking about putting James Dean in a movie.
I didn't.
And I don't think they should do that.
I
so
would
I'm glad
be,
they're not.
Right. I would feel differently about Chadwick Boseman. I would. But with
I don't know if you know DJ, but James Dean is dead too.
Right, but his family allowed it, and they were like, "Yeah, why not?" I don't think it's offensive.
Well, let's
at all.
Say Chadwick's family allowed it because they want to get another paycheck.
Okay,
I would still find it disrespectful.
If the family's cool with it, I think it's just too, to me, I would be, as a family member, I would think they'd be like, no, too soon. Right. James Dean's been dead for a little while, and it would be an homage, you know, like, hey, this is pretty cool. Look what they can do. You know, I don't know. But that, I mean, we've had that discussion, and I hope they don't do the digital. Like you said, it's like that seems to be the direction they're going, and that's fine. It's going to be an interesting story, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, that's all we'll have is digital actors. Like, actors will just lease out their likenesses, and they'll never have to appear in anything, you know? We'll have a 30-year-old Brad Pitt for 70 years making movies.
70?
So, yeah, 170.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, here's a bright side tangent of all tangents. Joe sent me a picture today of a screen grab of a movie that John Malkovich did. Did you see this? Uh-huh. The movie you'll never see?
No.
It comes out in 2115 in 95 years.
Yeah.
It's sealed away in like a bulletproof glass safe or whatever that's set to open in 2115. It's a movie that he made for the, you know, and nobody knows what it's about, but nobody, like, we won't know. And Joe and I were laughing. I'm like, that kind of makes me feel sick to my stomach to know. You're like, yeah, I'll never see that. We'd be 145. And I'm like, you'll only be 118.
Like, well, I think it's pretty presumptuous that he thinks anybody will care to watch that movie in 115 years.
I think
they'll be like, oh, we have this movie of this guy we've never heard of.
Well, it'll probably come out on HBO Max on Christmas Day.
Maybe, yeah. And it still won't have 4K or Atmos. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. If they get that, I mean, I was trying not to go there, but if HBO Max drops that in December, oh, man, I'll be one happy Christmas camper. Oh, but yeah. That was good. That was good. But that's crazy. That like makes you feel, that really hits you in the mortality gut where you're like, yeah, I'm never seeing that one. I was like,
yeah,
that's tough.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just saw it today.
In a time capsule, I guess.
Yeah. Some kind of time capsule that were in 2115. I was like, I'll be 145. I'm going to try and start eating a salad every day.
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. What do we got? Chris Pratt here.
Chris Pratt joins the cast of Thor: Love and Thunder. So not a huge surprise, but it's a welcome news. You know, you know, as Guardians of the Galaxy back together again.
Yeah, they have great chemistry. They're so funny together.
Right. And it makes sense based on the end of Endgame. You know, we know they were kind of heading off together.
To be honest, don't those two have great chemistry with, like, everybody? Like, in all of their separate movies, like, Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pratt, they're, like, they're fantastic people, it seems, and you just put them two
together.
They're
the Chris's that you want to be friends with.
I think all the Chris's are really cool, though.
Yeah, because Evans is pretty cool, too.
Evans is cool, and what's his name?
He's all over Twitter right now with his dog.
Oh, no.
In his Knives Out sweater with his dog.
Oh, really?
He's hanging out with Ali Raisman.
And what's the Chris that's in Wonder Woman?
Pine.
Chris Pine. They're all awesome.
Yes. Yeah. The Hollywood Chris's, I guess.
Yeah. Didn't Chris Pine do the thing on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago where, like, everybody mixes them all up? Yeah, he was he was doing his opening monologue and people were coming up like, oh, I loved you in this. And they were getting all the Chris's movies wrong. He's like, no, that wasn't me. That was this.
That wasn't me. That was Evans.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty good. All right. We're making our way through this here. Let's see. What else you got? Oh, we got, Future State Wonder Girl.
Yeah. So, we talked about DC's Future State, which is the comic event that happens in January of next year.
Right.
And, so it looks like these are not just throwaway stories, which is kind of what everybody thinks they may be, because it looks like the CW is developing a Wonder Girl TV series based on Yara Flor, who is the the Latin Wonder Girl in the Future State comics.
Okay.
So
when's that coming out?
This was next year, it looks like. probably 2022 at this point.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a mid-season or summer replacement. But, you know, it's in development now, so I would think it would probably be the 2022 season.
Or the fall of 2021, like?
Yeah, because, you know, we're wrapping up, you know, obviously Arrow just ended. We're wrapping up Supergirl this year. You know, don't know how many more seasons Flash has under its belt. So, you know, obviously they're looking to keep this CW-verse going with some fresh content. And, you know, this is really cool, I think. You know, we don't know anything about this character. We've never seen her
yet
or met her at this point in any comic. So, but it makes that comic now important, because
right.
a lot of people are going to be interested in picking that book up to find out who Wonder Girl is. And you know, you don't get a lot of Latin heroes on TV or in the comics or anywhere. So this should have a huge following, I would think, when it comes out. So I'm pretty interested. And this came out of nowhere. Like I read this and I was really kind of, I was more blown away by this than I was about the Wonder Woman on Christmas Day news.
Well, this actually affects you. This sells books.
Well, right, but it just
that.
It just wasn't anything that I was on my radar at all. Like, I would not have expected any character that comes out of the Future State to mean anything or be important, really, in any way. So I was pretty shocked by that. But I'd be interested in it, and I'm wondering if that means we see Wonder Woman at all in the CW verse. You know, I mean, I don't know, because we have Batwoman and we never saw Batman, so I mean, she could be referenced.
But we don't see her in DC Universe. We haven't seen her on
no,
Titans.
Right, we haven't. We haven't. Yeah. So
we've seen Themyscira on Titans, but did we? I think we did. They were there.
We did,
they went there a little bit.
And we've heard the names. Like, you know,
yes,
we heard about Wonder Woman
cool,
and Batman
yeah.
and Superman and all that.
Well, we actually saw,
but
we have Batman. We have
well,
Bruce.
We saw Bruce. We saw Batman in his dream sequence too, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Really kind of interested to see what they do with that. So
I think it's a creative way to sell books, to be honest with you. I really like it. I mean, because you and I were both down. We're talking.
Well, I think
talking
it's the other
Dr.
way around,
Joe,
though. Like, I don't think they're spending millions on a TV show to sell 80,000 comics. You know what I mean? So
no, but they're announcing it now. You know what I mean? And I think that one hand washes the
other. That's
going
to bring something to the event,
right?
It will bring some more attention to the event that it might not have gotten. So
yeah, that has me a little more hopeful for this Future State thing, bring some excitement to it where, you know, like Dr. Joe said, he was excited for it. You know, he's looking forward to Future State, where you and I were like, why are we taking a break? What are we doing? What, you know, because my first thought was the stores. Like, wait a minute, I don't get my Batman. I can't. I mean, that hurts.
Well, right. Again, for me, it's financial.
Yeah, of course.
Like, there's nothing, you know, I've mentioned it before. In 2 months, that's four issues of Batman that we missed.
Right.
The entire sales of Future State combined won't equal what I lose on those four issues of Batman.
Right.
Not to mention what I sell of Justice League and Flash and all the other books too.
Right.
So, like, I just don't think from a sales perspective that this makes me money in those 2 months.
Right.
You know,
it's tough.
From a reader's perspective, I mean, I'm intrigued. You know, I guess I have less interest in reading these stories that aren't going anywhere. But maybe they will, because Wonder Girl, you know, if they make a TV series, then they're going to want to keep her going in the comics too. So if these are not just throwaway characters that we're only going to meet for two issues and then never see again, I'm not really interested.
Right.
But if there are things that may go on in some fashion later on, you know, then maybe I am interested. So
yeah, and not only that, people might want to buy. I mean, we know what happens to books and Speculator when we get into like this has been optioned for a TV show and this is getting a TV show. So
right, the difference is the show was announced ahead of the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we still have an opportunity to order. So like this book will not be a collector's item in any
so
way.
Do
you
we,
know what I mean? Because
do we have this show in Speculator Roundup for like get this show because there's going to be a book about
exactly.
It.
You know, cuz normally you find out about these things after it's too late to order more copies.
Right.
In this case we have plenty of advance notice. So the smart retailers will order a bunch of
at
these,
Arkham, you know? Comics and Games.
And the nice thing about Future State for retailers is the entire event is returnable. So, like, we don't have to take a huge risk on ordering these books.
Oh, that's cool.
Where if they were not returnable, I'll be honest with you, I would have ordered pretty tight on these.
Yeah.
And not had a lot on the shelf. But, you know, now, being returnable is not without its upfront costs because you still have to pay for it
right.
upfront. And get your money back 3 months later. So it's not like I'll order a million of them, but I'll have a lot more on the shelf than I would have with no returnability. So it's smart of them to do that. But this is the one, you know, I mean, obviously this is a title now that I'll order
heavy,
you know, pretty heavy on. Yeah. And try to really push that because that's one that I won't mind. I wouldn't mind having around a year from now when the show pops up on TV.
Exactly.
You know? So
I wonder if there'll be any more.
Of course,
more
the fact
tie-ins.
That it's returnable would mean I would have had right. to already given them all back by then. But
right.
that's neither here nor there.
But I wonder if there'll be any more tie-ins, like any right. more announcements of hey, this could be they could even just say this could be getting a show, and that's going to help.
Right.
So who knows? I just have one last thing. Did you see Space Force has been officially renewed by Netflix for season 2?
I did see that.
Pretty
yes.
cool, Steve Carell. We
yeah,
loved
that
show.
Yeah, I liked it.
John Malkovich?
Yeah.
We'll be able to see him in this.
it was sooner than 2115, I guess.
Exactly.
So
wow. But yeah, I think that's all we got, John. I mean, almost an hour into the show here. And
I know.
We're getting into
pretty
comics.
Deep.
Yeah, you got anything else?
Pretty deep.
I
no,
think
I
that's
don't.
It. You did. Well, we did cover Wonder Woman 1984 on HBO Max. We got to that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. I think I remember talking about that.
All right. That's about it. I'm exhausted.
yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
All righty, John. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So first book we have is from Behemoth Comics. It's called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, issue number 1. This is selling for about $20, with a 1 in 5 variant that's selling for around $40. I didn't order any of these, so couldn't tell you anything about it, but, and I think that's probably the biggest reason why they're selling for $20 to $40, because Behemoth Comics probably didn't get a lot of orders for this. Amazing Spider-Man 53, the 1 in 10 variant, has a Miles Morales cover that's pretty hot, currently selling for about $30, which is 3 times the ratio on that. So, and that's selling. I sold mine today. Sold both of mine today, actually.
Oh, wow.
At $30. So that's pretty steady price. From Scout Comics, we have Children of the Grave, issue number 1, selling for about $13. And also from Scout, Recount number 1, selling for around $12. That one has a 1 in 10 variant selling for about $30. So, you know, Scout's got, I mean, really almost everything they have coming out lately, their number 1s. I mean, I think it's just because the ordering is pretty low on a lot of these, but
yeah,
there always seem to be, have people looking for them.
Did you see,
go ahead.
Yeah. That I couldn't find the Recount today. Did you get it?
I didn't order it.
I didn't. Yeah, they didn't have it at. I ended up buying it, and I have to buy it. I bought it directly through Scout, so I'll be getting it in a few days. But yeah, they didn't have it at Friendly Neighborhood. They didn't have it at. I mean,
And I'll be honest with you, I don't order a lot of Scout books, so I miss out on a lot of these because I just don't really order them. I read a couple of advanced Scout books this week, and you know I'm bad because I don't remember the names of any of them. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't like any of them.
Oh, honestly. Really?
I read like three number ones that are coming out. I didn't like any of them. So I won't bring up the title.
I got one today that I read that I really liked. It was I'll get to it and check. I mentioned it on Twitter. I teased it. Not much of a tease. Okay. I said I really liked it.
Right. Just buried the lead.
No, I didn't bury it. I exposed it.
You exposed the lead.
But I was really interested in you know, the recount, and it's literally about recounting an election, and it's coming up, you know. So I'm wondering if people avoided
it. Well, it's apropos. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if people avoided it because it's so apropos. Like, I don't even want to deal with this.
Well, the thing is, we would have had to order it 3 or 4 weeks ago, though, when we wouldn't have really known, so... All right. Something
who didn't know a recount
children.
Was coming.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we knew counts were coming. We didn't know how close or we didn't know how it was going to turn out.
True.
I don't think anybody really could have predicted
this.
This, yeah. All right. Anyway, Something is Killing the Children, number 12. It's a big surprise. There's a 1 in 25 Peach Momoko variant that's going for over ratio, selling for between 45 and 55 bucks. I sold mine today for 45.
Do we have to have a whole new section?
Just the Peach Momoko section?
Yeah, we'll just call it. It's peachy.
I mean, every cover. I think there's now at this point, like, I think there's a sweatshop somewhere, like, with a bunch of 8-year-olds making drawings.
Pumping out art.
Pumping out Peach Momoko covers because, like, at this point, every other cover on the stand is a Peach Momoko cover. Mm. But
that's the beauty of quarantine for artists. They sit at home.
Making, I guess. They can keep just working. Sitting at home making
scan
covers.
Scan it and send it.
Yep. But no surprise there.
Unless you're a sculptor, you can't scan that and send it.
That's true. Well, you can 3D print it, though. So
that's not cheap.
Yeah, no, it's not. It takes longer to 3D print a sculpture than it does to sculpt a sculpture.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. All right, Star Wars Adventures Annual 2020. The 1 in 10 variant here is seeing a lot of interest, selling for between 25 and 35 bucks, which, again, is pretty strong for a 1 in 10 variant. And also Star Wars Darth Vader number 6 had a second printing today that had Ochi the Sith Assassin on the cover, and that makes this his first cover appearance. I'm sure you can guess what happened there. Selling for about 15 bucks. So, yep, put him on the cover.
Yep.
Sell books. Strange Academy number 1, fifth printing. So after the speculators took like the third and fourth printings off, I guess, the fifth printing's picking up steam again. These are selling for about 10 bucks a piece. So, again, the later the printing, the less of them out there are. So, they tend to be.
You hear that, people? Don't buy the one. Don't buy the second.
Right.
Don't buy the first.
Third. Wait for the fifth or sixth printing. Yeah. If it gets there.
Right. So, exactly.
Because if nobody buys the second printing, then there won't be a third. So you need enough people to buy it to generate another one.
Late to the party.
Right. And then last but not least, We Live number 2 has another hot 1 in 10 variant selling for about $20.
Did you read that today?
I didn't get to it yet. Oh, no. Okay. I do want to, though, because I really liked issue 1.
Yeah.
Didn't read a lot. Actually, the only two books I read today are the two we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
I had a really, really hectic day today. So
Didn't get to Batman either?
No, I didn't get to read anything.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, didn't read anything.
All right.
And that's it for Speculator Roundup.
All righty. Let's get into a couple of back issue bonus issues.
Yeah, there's only two this week. First one is from Wildstorm Comics. It's God of War issue number 1. This is selling for between 85 and 120 bucks, depending on condition. And it looks like there's a pretty scarce second printing that's selling for about the same price. So, I don't know. I guess there was some kind of God of War announcement that I missed. I don't know why this is hot all of a sudden, but tell you.
Yep.
But it is.
I don't know. I'm depending on you, John.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I have these things on here. That's as far as the research goes.
Right.
Like, I didn't do any more work.
Well, sometimes you've heard stuff, so.
Yeah, but I have. Yeah, but in this case, I haven't heard anything about God of War, yeah. So not sure what's driving it, really. And then second from Marvel, we have Darkhawk issue number one. Looks like Marvel recently trademarked the name, which is leading people to think that there may be a movie or a TV show on the way. So it looks like $50 or so is the price for, a nice copy of this. And that's way up. Like, this was like dollar bin material,
yeah,
at best. So, heck, I didn't even check today. I was too busy. I might have a couple of these around the store. So, probably need to check that out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Cool. And that is it for back issue bonus.
That was quick. We're making up time here. Making up time.
Yep.
From our big news section. Well,
we're gonna make up more time here too with the FOC because a lot of covers were missing this week, so there wasn't a lot of variant covers to look at.
Oh man, a little segue here. One of my home theater buddies, Braden Russell, just tweeted, "Does this make Wonder Woman 84 a Christmas movie?"
Yeah, with Die Hard.
Oh, I thought that was fantastic. I just saw it.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, I mean, she does wear red and gold. So.
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Let's get into FOC. I'm looking these beautiful covers as we speak.
Yeah. So from DC Comics, the only variant cover that they had available was Detective Comics 1033. It's our old friend Lee Bermejo.
Yep.
Who does all the detective variants.
I like that one.
I like it too. It's pretty standard Libra Mayo, yeah, though. Like, they all, are a similar vein.
Yeah, it's like saying a Van Halen album sounds like Van Halen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, he does a great, I think he does a great Batman.
Yeah.
And these all look good. So.
Yes.
So there's that. And then for new series from DC, we have the Black Adam Endless Winter special, with two covers. We have Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Secret Origin.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, the Superman cover.
Yeah.
With the, I forget what the Batman Who Laughs is calling himself these days, but the Darkest Knight Who Laughs or something.
Looks like an evil pumpkin head or something.
Yeah. And then, let me take a breath before I spit this one out.
There you go.
Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Last 52... War of the Multiverses. I think that's going to be on three lines on the cover. If you look at the picture,
yeah.
There's no trade dress on the picture at this point. But
yeah,
I don't know how they're going to squeeze all that on the cover.
No, I know. I had, when I was going through your pictures, I was like, "Where's it?" I had to read the fine print to find that one.
Yeah, because it's just the image.
Yeah.
And then last from DC, we have another Tales from the Dark Multiverse. This one is appropriately Dark Knight's Metal. I thought Dark Knight's Metal already was from the Dark Multiverse. So I don't quite know what they're doing here.
Yeah.
But
a lot of metal going on.
There is. There's, I think, too much.
That's too how much I metal feel at this point. It hasn't really...
Yeah,
grabbed me,
I'm not loving it either. So I've really kind of started to fall off.
Yeah,
reading these.
Oh well.
Hey,
what? As they say at TLDR, you can't read everything.
You cannot. You're right.
Sometimes too long didn't read, and for God's sakes, there's so much metal. It's too much. Didn't read.
Right. TMDR.
Yeah, exactly. But they actually like it.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Well, hey, yeah, I mean, Nick, a lot of people do. It still sells very well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm selling a lot of it. I just don't care for it.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah, mine either. All right. From Image Comics, we have Post Americana, issue number one. There's going to be six issues of this, and there's multiple covers available.
Yep.
From Marvel, they didn't have any variant cover images up, so shame on them. Looks like new series, we're getting a Ghost Rider annual. number one. I wouldn't normally list the annual, but it's just kind of odd that we're getting an annual when there's no current Ghost Rider series going.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good little way strange.
Well, maybe it only comes out annually. Just yeah. one a year.
Just one a year. I mean, one Ghost Rider a year.
There you go.
Okay.
It's cool cover.
King in Black. We have a Iron Man Doom tie-in.
Yep.
There's two covers for that. I think that's just a one-shot also.
Okay. And then cool. I'll read that.
Web of Spider-Man, issue number 1 of 5.
That's a fun cover.
Multiple covers there. Yeah, I like that one. I always liked Web of Spider-Man, you know, the series when it was out. I don't think this is going to be the same, but it's more Spider-Man, so can't go wrong there.
Yeah, 1 of 5, yep.
From Boom Comics, we have The Expanse, issue number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries. This is based on the Amazon Prime
the show
series.
Have they done a yeah. comic on this in the past?
They have not.
So this is
they
the first
not,
one.
But
okay,
this
cool.
looks like it's going to bridge the last season and the upcoming season.
Oh, okay.
I think season, if I'm not mistaken, there's 3 seasons. Currently out,
three
and this
or four,
is going
or something like that. Yeah.
yeah, this is going to bridge between season 3 and 4. I really love this show, so I'm looking forward to reading this book.
Cool.
I think it's a great
I started
show,
it. So. I haven't kept up with it, but yeah, I yeah. liked the show when I started
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think just, it's really good.
It's hard to keep up with that when
yeah, this
my wife
lot.
Doesn't watch this, so
yeah, I watched this one. I watched this one by myself as well. Lydia didn't get into it, so. Okay, from Vault Comics, we have The Picture of Everything Else, issue number 1. There's multiple covers for that.
It's so and funny. Then, this one, that cover was at the back of one of the books that I read today, but it didn't
oh,
have
yeah.
the picture of everything. It didn't have the writing. So
oh, you
like,
didn't know what it was.
No, yeah. I just saw that, like, it was just an ad for it, but kind of a poor ad.
So yeah, like, exactly. Because if you don't know what the ad's for,
I didn't know what it was, and then I yeah. saw it. I go, I actually thought it was like the. To be honest, I thought it because it was the next page where it says to be continued. So I thought that had right. something to do with the story I just read, and we'll get into that yeah. in a minute.
Not great product placement.
No, because
watch,
I was like, what does this have to do with the story? And then when I saw it in our covers here, I was like, oh, okay, that was an ad.
They didn't watch Mad Men. They don't know how important advertising is.
Yeah. So. Oh, and you must have loved Garmin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He did yeah. the Mad Men theme.
He did the Mad Men theme today. Yep. Yeah. All right. And then last but not least, Titan Comics. We have Blade Runner 2029, issue number 1. So I guess we've gone back in time because
why not?
I think the last series was 2049. So
yeah. Got to have
a bit of a prequel.
Prequel, sequel.
Yeah.
Something in the middle there.
It's the midquel, I guess, because
exactly.
we have the beginning and the end already. All right, and that is it for FOC.
Moving right along, let's get to checkout, John. We've got a few books today. The only one I haven't read that you read, I didn't read your first one, so why don't you start with that one?
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't. Yeah, so first book I read was Barbalian Red Planet, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries. It's from Dark Horse Comics. It was written by Tate Bromball, and it had art by Gabriel Walta. Yeah, so this is based on the Black Hammer universe. Barbalian yeah. is one of the characters in the Black Hammer stories. So this kind of serves as his origin story slash what happens after we last see him in Black Hammer. So I really liked the Black Hammer world. I liked these characters, so I was kind of in for this. This is really just a blatant ripoff of Martian Manhunter.
His really?
Name is yeah. I mean, his name is Mark Marks. You know where you know Martian Manhunter is yeah. John Johns. So
right.
I mean, all of Black Hammer is really just a Justice League ripoff. I've said that before. Now, I mean, they're great stories and great characters, but this really just feels like you're reading Martian Manhunter. But yeah, you know, it was fun. You know, I like this character. So if you're into Black Hammer and you like these characters, you know, you're going to want to read this. It's a pretty good tie-in. And, you know, you get a lot more story for this character that you don't get in the main Black Hammer universe. So, so I think, you know, this is definitely something you should read if you like Black Hammer. You know, I don't know that you want to jump in and read this. Like, and that's why I said I'm not surprised that you didn't read it. Like, if you haven't read Black Hammer, like, I'm not sure you want to jump in and read this. Now, it does look like it's going to be a standalone story. So you probably don't have to have read anything. But you're not going to have an affinity for the character if you haven't, you know, if you haven't really met him before. And I don't think this story is going to be enough to
hook you,
you know, really hook you. Yeah. Hook you on it. If you don't have some kind of familiarity with it already. So this is really for those readers that, that are kind of into Black Hammer. I don't think it serves as a jumping on point if you haven't read any of that.
Okay.
That being said, go out and read it because Black Hammer is great. But
yeah,
but yeah, yeah. Like I said, I liked it. I think it's pretty good. So the art wasn't fantastic. You know, I have to. If there's one criticism, I didn't think the art was very good, but the story itself was pretty interesting. So,
All right. I'm going to start off with Dark Interlude number one. By Vault Comics, writer Ryan O'Sullivan, art by Andrea Mutie, I guess. Did you? Oh, you didn't read this.
I read it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
What did you think of it? And did
I didn't like it.
Huh?
I didn't like it.
I didn't get it. And I,
yeah.
So what I didn't like,
I almost made it my second book today because I didn't have time to really read anything. And I was like, oh, I've already read this, so I'll just choose this one. But I didn't really like it enough. I was like, I don't want to intentionally go into it with books that I know I didn't like.
But here's the thing. I don't think it's bad. I just didn't appreciate the sarcasm and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. It's highly stylized sarcasm throughout the book. They're making fun of the publishing genre, you know, publishing.
Right.
They're making fun of themselves. That was kind of fun, but it kind of got old within the story itself. I mean, it opens with that opening letter, and I just didn't get the fantasy part of it, too.
I did kind of like every time we saw the quote-unquote author character, he had, like, something, like, he had word balloons over his face and stuff.
Right.
Like, I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know.
It's not.
You're right. I mean, it starts out with that letter at the beginning, and like he comes off very unlikable right from the start, and
which I think that's the point. I'm not.
Well, it was.
That's what I mean.
I don't
want to say this is a bad book. I think it's a creatively written book. It just wasn't for it. The things that they're pointing fingers at to try and break a mold and be more creative, I thought they actually played into that. They actually just did exactly what they were making fun of.
Right.
And I'm the story itself, I don't know. I mean, was there a story Fearscape that I don't know? Did you know? Is this legit?
No, I don't think so.
This is the first book and
I think
pretending
this is the first
it's a sequel.
Exactly.
But not a sequel. Okay. Cause I didn't know about that. So I didn't get that, but obviously.
Yeah, I think they just wrote in their own backstory.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But I don't think that existed in the past. I don't. It wasn't anything I was familiar with anyway.
If we're wrong, somebody will let us know.
Somebody will tell us.
But I'm not crazy about it. But like I said, I can't say it's bad. It wasn't for me, and it just didn't resonate with me. And I'm super sarcastic.
Yeah.
So. You are too. So.
I am. Yeah. No, I am. I know.
That's why we get along.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, you know, we've got a couple more books here that I think will swing things around for us here. So I read this next one that you're going to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. So the next book I read is from IDW. It was called Sea of Sorrows. It's good. It was issue number one. Obviously, it's going to be a 5-issue miniseries. It was written by Rich. Dueck, I guess.
Yeah, Dueck.
Art by Alex Cormack. So this is the same team that did Road of Bones for IDW last year, which I thought was pretty good.
We liked Road to Bones.
Yeah, I liked it.
We have fun with that one.
So this is kind of like a deep sea horror story.
Yeah.
Takes place right around the World War II era. You know, you've got I think it was World War
One. World War One, yeah, because World it War starts I, yeah, in, what was it, 26?
Yeah, 1926. Yeah, I think it said the 20s. This was kind of like the advent of the U-boats and the submarines and all that stuff for from World War One, and they are after a sunken U-boat that was carrying, basically was loaded with
gold.
Gold bars, yeah. But it wasn't on any of the, like, it wasn't reported missing. It wasn't really publicized that this thing even existed. It was a little bit unclear about how they
found out.
And how they found out, right. And how one of the characters ended up with one of the gold bars and didn't have all the rest of them already. Cause that's the first thing I thought. It's like, well, if you had one, why don't you have them all? But, why are you bringing more people to share the plunder with when you could have just taken it all yourself?
Right.
But you know, they're basically going out on a treasure hunt. They're trying to find this sunken ship, that's supposedly full of gold. And, they kind of got their group together that's going out and they're going to split the plunder. And, so you got the one guy that's the diver and he's trying to find the ship. And without getting really anything else away, he kind of goes into his past a little bit and how he was on a ship that went down, and it turns out it was supernatural forces that brought this ship down.
And he was on that ship.
That's what I thought. That was a little unclear to me, mm-hmm. but I thought that he was a survivor of the wreck that they were searching.
That's how they knew about the wreck, and but he knew it. So, that's not a spoiler or anything. This, because there's a huge understory we're not getting to that makes this the horror mystery type deal I really liked it. I liked the art too.
I liked the art too, but I thought it was a little too dark. And I mean, I know what they were going for because a lot of it was supposed to be, underwater where obviously it's dark, but I found it, Road to Bones was similar because it all took places like in caves and it was kind of dark and, I felt it a little hard to follow the art, like figure out exactly what was going on in a lot of cases. Because I felt like it was a little too dark.
But see, I thought that's what was great about the art is that I thought it was because there's going to be stuff that pops up to the reader if they choose to read this off of our recommendation. But I thought that the art played to that because it's like, how else in a book do you make that like scene like you would get a jump scene in like, say, The Abyss or something, So I liked it. And I thought that there was enough brightness in those dark scenes. Like at one point I was like, is this, I thought it was Sea of Stars at one point because there's all like twinkles going on around him.
Right.
Which was, I really liked it. I thought it was a great use of the dark.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm not saying it was bad necessarily.
Right.
But it was dark. Like it was, it was like the Game of Thrones episode, it was like kind of hard to see a lot. Well,
get the Sea of Sorrows in 4K in with
4K,
HDR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't be on HBO Max.
You'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the writing was tight. I thought it was good, good story. And, like I said, the art wasn't bad. It just, like I said, it felt, and again, it was intended to because it was underwater, but it was dark,
Right.
It was a lot of blacks. Not a lot of light throughout the book, but I recommend it. I think it was good.
Cool. All right. I do too. I really liked that one. And my next one is Frank at Home on the Farm number 1 from Scout Comics, written by Jordan Thomas. And art by Clark Bint. Did you read this one earlier?
No, okay. I didn't know if you read an early one. No, I didn't.
Really liked this book. Frank at Home on the Farm is probably one of the most mundane titles to a book that is not mundane.
Yeah, well, it's no Dark Knight's Death Metal, The Last 52 War of the Multiverses, but, you know, few things can be. So.
Right. Thank God only a few things can be.
Right.
But no, this is, you know, Frank comes home from World War One, much like Sea of Sorrows. I don't know, maybe he's battling the same people. But he's coming home to the farm and opening pages, his family's missing. His mom, his dad, and his little brother. And that's where this story goes. And it just is like him trying to figure out where they are. And it's kind of funny because he goes to somebody, and obviously this isn't a spoiler, but as he goes to people, they're like, my family's missing. They're like, for how long? And he's like, well, I've been back a couple hours.
Right.
But he has that gut feeling. Like,
you can't report a missing person for 24 hours,
right,
sir.
Right. You've only been here a couple hours. How do you know they're missing? But as the story plays out, there are a lot of weird things at play, a lot of great mystery and intrigue as you've turned the pages. That's what I really liked about this. It really turns the pages for you. The art is really good. It's not like overly flamboyant or anything, but there's some action in here that really shouldn't be in the first couple of pages. You're like, why did that just happen? And then by the end of the book, especially that final panel, you're like, what does this mean? And I could talk to you if you get a chance to read this. I could explain it to you, but or talk to you about it, because it had me intrigued on just how it was drawn and what they were looking at and who was looking at what they were looking at. I don't want to give any more away, but what does that mean for book two? But like I said, it is a page turner. You're like, where is this going? What's going to happen? Where is his family? Why is he so worried? It's like, if I came home from anywhere and my family wasn't here and I'd only been home an hour, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Give it a few hours.
Anything of it. Right. I wouldn't think anything of it.
But some strange circumstances happen when he starts asking people questions. Like, I really don't want to give any more of it away, but it is a good horror. To me, I felt like it was a horror book. I think they're calling it like a dark mystery, but I felt like there was a horror vibe to it. Really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. So
cool.
Recommend that one. So I think we ended on a high note this week.
We did. Yep.
All right. And you didn't get to read anything else, right?
I didn't read anything else. Okay. This week. So
I got to Rorschach. I got We Live. I got Batman. I got into those this week. All really good. Really enjoying Rorschach. That's a really thinking read, as most.
Yeah.
Of
well, I'm hoping
Watchmen is.
Maybe this one will turn. Maybe number two will turn it around for me, because I didn't like number one as much as you did.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if this will turn it around. I mean, it's not like super. There's not a lot. It's not like when you're reading Batman, it's super entertaining and everything. But there's just it's a lot of dialogue and stuff, and I'm really enjoying that, I guess. We Live is pretty good. When I first opened it up, I'm like, I had to figure out where we were, and it took a couple pages. I was like, oh yeah, that's the story.
But I read so many books that I actually
well, it opens up in a way that didn't end that way, I don't think, and I'm like, what? I don't remember this. And then
I flipped through a couple of pages just to remember which book it was, because I was like, I think I read number one. I don't remember. And then I saw the one character that drives the bus or whatever, and I says, oh, yeah, I like that one. So I put it in my stack because, you know, I don't remember the names of anything anymore because, you know, like I said, I read so many books.
Yeah, exactly. And Batman, of course, is really – I can't wait for you to read that. Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have it read by then for sure.
That should do that. You ready for some real world?
Sure.
All right. John? What are we going to talk about for the next 40 minutes? What have you watched?
Well, let's see. We finished Mad Men.
Oh, good.
That was early in the week we finished. I think last week when we talked, we had like 5 or 6 left.
Yeah.
So we finished that. You know, again, overall, I thought it was great. It ended pretty well. You know, it's always hard to end a show that's been on for a long time and make it satisfying. And I think they did a pretty good job with it. There was a few things left unanswered that, you know, I kind of wish they wouldn't have left unanswered, especially since I'm sure they knew they were ending at the time. But overall, pretty enjoyable show. And then, yeah, as you know, I heard the theme song on Ralph Garman today, and it's like, wow, it struck me that I probably wouldn't hear that again for a long time because
yeah,
I'm done watching the episodes. Right. And this was one of those series that you could not skip the intro on. So I literally heard that intro 97 times.
Oh, really?
because I heard it on every – there was no commercials, but you couldn't skip the intro.
Couldn't skip it, yeah, yeah.
I heard it every time. But I liked it, so it didn't bother me.
I've never watched the show, but I love Ralph's description of it. And he's like –
yeah.
He goes, it was a great time to be alive. Unless you were black or a minority
or gay or a woman,
or if you were a straight white guy, it was a great time to be alive.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't great. Yeah, it wasn't great for anybody. No. And like I said, I think I mentioned it last week. None of them are good people.
Exactly. You know,
they're all really bad, really bad individuals.
It's not a show to make a role model out of.
No, it is not. But it was really I enjoyed it. So we finished that. I finished Korra.
Okay.
The other night, so I'm done with that. Really liked it. You know, overall impression is I still don't think it was as good as Avatar, but really good. There's rumblings of like a third series in the works with a potentially another Avatar. So I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to that hopefully happening. But yeah, now I'm looking for my next thing because that's done. Excuse me.
Well, I told you, have you done, it's going to sound silly, but you know, She-Ra.
Oh yeah.
Do that.
Well, I might watch that. I think I'm going to watch,
As far as animation goes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to watch Blood of Zeus, which is on Netflix. Yeah. There's just one season, so I think that's probably the next thing I'll watch. Because it's, again, it's probably 4.5 hours worth of content. So yeah. I'll get that done in a couple of evenings. Lydia's going to be working a lot more nights and weekends for the next few weeks through the holidays. So I'll have, you know, some time to watch a bunch of things, I guess. As far as her and I, we started Long Way Up.
Oh, I thought we were getting to relationship part.
No, just things that her and I watched together.
As far as her and I, well, we had a little fight on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. We're not getting along.
Wait a minute, I got to make another segment here. on the couch.
Yeah, we started Long Way Up.
Good. Are you done with it?
No. No, well, we would be, but we got sidetracked again. So I've watched
got sidetracked in Brazil or something.
We've watched 7 or 8 episodes of Long Way Up. I don't know exactly how many there are.
You blew past us. No, maybe we're right up about there.
But yeah, they're actually just crossing from South America to North America. That's kind of where we're at. So yeah, that's really enjoyable.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't he a great guy?
Yeah, he is.
And I feel bad for his buddy Steve. Oh, my God. Well, he's a beaten man.
No, Charlie.
Charlie, I'm sorry. Charlie
Borman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Charlie should be riding bikes. like in episode one, he had two crashes. Like it starts off with him talking about recovering from one crash, and then 10 minutes later, he's had another one. So,
yeah, but he has a crash in like 3. He's just driving along, and it's like all of a sudden he's like, what? Boom.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I don't think he should be riding, but yeah, it's like I said, it's really enjoyable, and he's pretty calm. Ewan McGregor's a pretty calm dude because they've run into some pretty bad situations, and he takes it pretty easily.
When he had to hold on to the mirror or the side of the truck, and I'm like,
that was.
I don't think a lot of people know how hard that is.
Oh yeah, well I do because I tried to ride the back of a bike on a skateboard once and it didn't end well. So, and I remember bumper surfing through Star Market parking lot.
Yes,
that didn't end
did
well
that.
Either. So, so it's not always good to be like hooked onto a vehicle.
No, doesn't feel good.
But we would have finished that, but on Sunday, The Crown dropped on Netflix, and Lydia loves that show.
Oh, there you go.
So season four dropped on Sunday, and we started watching that.
Doesn't that have something to do with Princess Di or something?
Well, this season does. I mean, yeah. it's all about the Crown, Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
But yeah, this season introduced like Margaret Thatcher, who's played by Gillian Anderson, and Lady Di. So, I mean, Lydia likes it a lot more than I do, but she had watched it all, and then she wanted me to watch it with her again. So, I watched the first three seasons sometime last year,
yeah,
and then we started that. So. We're about halfway done with that. Although, like I said, this week we probably won't watch anything because Lydia's working. She's closing twice and
right.
She's working Sunday. So we won't finish that or Long Way Up probably.
Right.
So,
good. I'll be watching, catch up.
I'll be watching Blood of Zeus and something else along the way, but we won't be finishing either one of those two shows probably.
Well, there you go.
Well, we might finish The Crown tomorrow. Don't think we'll get to Long Way Up for a little while, though. So.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but that's it. That's really all we watched this week. So.
All right. I watched on, Bloomberg? What's the name of it? Cartoon Network.
Boomerang.
Sorry, Bloomberg. Yeah. What the heck was that? Boomerang.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that like a new show
so
or something?
So Scooby-Doo is doing, they're all new episodes, but they do these episodes featuring stars. And I think I told you a while ago, there was one Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Remember, that was one of the featured ones. Well, they had one this week for Alex Trebek.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was really good. It was pretty funny. They do a whole episode inside, like they're on Jeopardy. So the
right.
Scooby-Doo cast is all on Jeopardy, and Shaggy and Velma are on Jeopardy, and then there's this robot that's supposed to be like really smart, and that's where like, you know, the mystery ensues, like what's going on. The robot starts to go haywire, but Alec, it is Alex Trebek's voice. He'd obviously done this. And,
right.
But I really enjoyed the artwork because it looked like there were times when you were watching it and you're like, it looks just like the set. Like if you just squinted your eyes a little, but it was animated, obviously.
Right.
But it looked really cool and it was a pretty fun episode.
Speaking of Alex Trebek and Christmas Day, I'm not going to be watching Wonder Woman. I'm going to be watching Jeopardy because.
What are they doing? His last marathon?
Well, his last filmed episode is going to air on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, his last film show will air on Christmas Day. So.
Well, that's a half hour.
Yeah, really 18 minutes, right?
It's like, all right.
But yeah, that's what I'll be doing on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Even throw in a moment of silence in there and you still have some time.
Yep. Exactly.
Afterwards. All right. Jen and I started The Vow. On HBO Max, we got four or five episodes into that.
Okay.
Really good.
Yeah, it's really,
obviously.
Really interesting. He's
crazy.
He's a scumbag.
So, listening to Martin over on the Nerdy Legion, his wife watched Seduced. Have you heard of
that? Is that the one that was on Stars?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one about India.
It's the same
Oxenberg.
One.
Yeah, right, but this one focuses more on India Oxenberg. I don't have Stars, so I haven't watched it.
Neither do we, but if you go on, just go on your Apple TV and like talk into it and say you want Seduced, click on it. And for us, it said, do you want to watch the first one free or whatever?
Oh, okay.
So, and it came up on Amazon. So Amazon gave it to us for free, and then it rolled right into two. So I don't know. Maybe I have Stars, but it offered it for free for me. But I don't think I have Stars.
Well, because I heard that one goes into even more
Here's the
depth.
Thing. So Martin was funny because his wife's like – his wife thinks The Vow on HBO Max was like 13 episodes too long. And Seduced
this one,
gets right into the action. But
that's what I heard too.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
But
Kevin Smith said the same thing.
They're two but they're two different they're coming at it from two different angles.
Right.
So The Vow is more about how the process of attracting the people into this cult, right? So you really go through that process, because when you first start out watching it, like the first episode of The Vow, you're like, okay, well, I don't see really
it was
anything.
It really was like a multi-level marketing thing.
Right.
More than anything.
Whereas the first episode of Seduced, like the first 5 minutes, you're like, it's all sensationalized. It gets right to the pretty much, I haven't gotten to the end of The Vow, but it pretty much gets you right to the end and tells you everything he did. And we're about we're only 1.5 episodes. It's only 4 episodes on Seduced.
Oh, okay.
So we're 1.5 into it, and they barely even mention the men that are in the cult, the men leaders. It's all about the women.
This one focuses more on the sex cult part of it, whereas The Vow was more like the whole operation.
Right. I wouldn't recommend one over the other. I think you should. I mean, just like the way Jen and I did
different
it,
different aspects of it.
Yeah, it brings you, because I felt like the Vow made you realize how they work, how these cults do this, how they prey on your insecurities and try to build you up and bring you in. Whereas Seduced doesn't really get into that. It just tells you, like, this is what they did. They took advantage of these people and of these women. It really focuses on what they, that, which when you watch The Vow, you see it's like, that women part is like, and that's the bad part.
That's the bad part, but it really doesn't come into play till you're like 3/4 of the way through it, or more than halfway through it.
That's like the real seedy underbelly of the entire operation, where they have that big front of their, you know, self-help group or whatever.
Right.
But I recommend both of them. I think they're.
Yeah, I want to see it. Because I heard that, like I said, Kevin Smith was talking about both of them. And he was saying similar, that he thought The Vow was a little bit too long. Like, they took too long to come to everything. And like,
it is, but like, there's a lot more detail.
Direct to the more of the bad, you know, like the really bad parts of it. Like, it painted him a lot worse than The Vow did.
I haven't gotten to the end of The Vow. I can't imagine they paint him in a good light by the end.
No, they don't. But I think, you know, again, I haven't seen Seduced, but from what I heard, they go into a lot more detail about how bad he was. So.
Right. But I recommend both. I think they're, you know, that one has way more detail, but it gives you that feeling of how these women felt and how anybody felt. What amazed me about this show, and I kept saying it over and over to Jen, and I was like, these dates, like the time period, it's now.
Right.
And you would think, like, this stuff, how does this stuff happen now? Because,
it just happened.
Exactly. It's like, how is this happening? Because people know, like, cults exist, and you'd think it'd be like, whoop, I'm falling into a cult.
In my mind, you know, and it was kind of like when we talked about Invisible Man last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, you don't know the mindset because you haven't lived it.
Right.
But that's my mind, too. It's like, how are these people getting sucked in by this? Like, I just don't know. I don't know how you don't see this coming from a mile away. But you don't. I guess when you're in it, you don't.
And that's why I think The Vow is important, because you see how he plays on, how nice he is and stuff. And
right.
How,
like, he comes off.
Great guy. And it's
guy, really intelligent guy. Everybody is into him.
Look at all the people that support him. And they really don't get into that in Seduced. They just get right to the bloop.
Right.
And that, and it, if all you watch is Seduced, you'll be like, you'll really have that feeling. How did you get sucked into this?
Right.
But if you watch The Vow, you really can see it. So,
yeah.
But, we watched, Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Jen's not a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought she would like it.
No, she wasn't a fan. And I'm like, I really want it. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I liked it.
Oh, man. I don't know. I loved it.
Yeah, I felt like you said, what'd you say? It was like Major League.
It's kind of.
It really is just like Major League, but
in
I'm
the
like,
beginning, but it doesn't stay that way.
We're one episode in, and
you've only watched one.
Yeah, but she doesn't. She has no desire to go back. I'm like, really? It's only a half hour? What the?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm watching. I mean, she loves The Vow. That's her wheelhouse. So
right.
We binged that. That's how we got to like 4 or 5 episodes. Then I told her about Seduced. She's like, okay. I'm like, ugh.
I recall that Jen wasn't really on board after episode 1 of Cobra Kai either.
Yes.
And she ended up really
good call.
Liking
thank
it,
you. I'm going to
so.
Use that. Thank you.
Because I really like Ted Lasso. I think it has a lot more heart than it comes off in the first episode. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it really is pretty charming. You
yeah.
know, I don't know.
Well,
I like
he
it.
Is. He's pretty
yeah,
cool.
You may not like it after you see it, but I think it was really good.
I've heard great things about it, not just from you. I mean, a lot of people have talked about it. That's really
good. I'd throw
good.
Cobra Kai out there. You know, maybe that'll get you.
Yeah, that's a good second
viewing at least.
So another thing we saw on CBS, Bull. Have you ever watched that show?
I've never seen it.
Okay. You don't have to have seen it. You don't have to watch it even, but they did their first episode back from COVID. Yep. And I thought it was awesome how they leaned into COVID. The way they wrote the show. So the show is about, it's like, you know, jury science and court science and everything. And he analyzes the jury and they turned it into a musical because they did these music thing. But like everything they did on this show, it had nothing to do with the format of the show that they normally have, but they wrote it in such a way that works. But you could also see like all the cast members were socially distanced, like all the scenes were shot so that the cast members didn't have to be close to each other, but it actually played the part of the story. And it was really, really cool how they did it. The story had to do with COVID. Like it was them in the story coming back into the courtroom during COVID and it like dealing with that and him potentially losing his business because of this. Things that everybody is dealing with. They put this into a story and it was so creatively done that I was really impressed by it. And then they even ended the show with like this like music montage type thing where but it was behind the scenes. They were coming out of their trailers and then they all came together, but they all stopped like in a V 6 feet apart, blah, blah, blah. And then he stepped out and he's like, we're happy to be back. And it was just a lot of fun. And it's something that I know you don't know the show, so you wouldn't get the contrast to what the show is really like. But if you have CBS All Access, just check it. It just dropped last week. I thought it was a very creatively done show for what it was. Cause it's like a, you know, crime show where they deal in court and stuff. And then to have it be played like this and deal with COVID at the same time, I thought it was pretty cool.
Right.
Cool. And
a lot of shows are coming back. They're all, you know, we watched The Good Doctor. Of course, everything that's coming back is dealing with COVID in some way. Because a bunch of those shows are starting to come back now.
Yeah, the medical dramas should be fun.
Yeah.
They deal with it.
Because like I said, we watch The Good Doctor, and that obviously is a medical show, and it dealt a lot with COVID. But it went back to the beginning of COVID. And the only problem I have with it is like I don't want to relive this stuff, you know? We're living it right now. It's like
we're
I
still
don't
living
necessarily
it.
want my... And I understand that they're all going to address it. You know, all the shows are going to address it, so you really can't get away from it. But I kind of don't want to live it all on TV.
Well, like I said, I said to Jen watching like Bull, and they're wearing masks and they're going, you know, like they're portraying the real world that we're in right now. And I said, this is going to be weird in a few years. And you look back, like you're watching, you know, old episodes and you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. And hopefully we get to that point and we're looking back at like, remember when we had to do that? And it's,
hopefully it's
we get there
the
someday.
Past and not, right.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Pepper's Farm remembers?
Because it is weird now that we look at like, watch old, like, sports videos and sports games and you see a lot of these people in the stands, or you watch a concert video and you're like, those people are too close together.
Right.
Like, you can't do that. It's scary how quickly your mentality can change. I know it's been 6-9 months, but you're like, Like, this is my wheelhouse. I don't like people around me. So I'm like,
well, right, me,
like,
yeah.
You know,
I'm fine.
Like, I like going
out
to the bars,
and I have
to 6 feet six away
foot
from
close
me.
To me as it is. I want eight,
right.
10 feet. You
exactly.
Know?
So when this goes back to normal, I'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
But it'll be good for all the businesses.
It's like, oh, you're too close, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Oh, and the last show is The Undoing. And Jen would like to wait and save up a few episodes so she can binge them.
Yeah, I haven't seen this week's episode yet.
We're two back now because she wants to save up and binge a few because they always end on a cliffhanger. And apparently she doesn't understand that I have a comic book podcast to do.
Right. We got to talk about The Undoing on a comic book podcast. Yeah, I haven't, like I said, I haven't caught this week's yet. So.
Yeah. So hopefully next week I'll have watched three
of
them.
A couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. That gets us quickly to our Mandalorian Minute. We'll talk briefly spoiler-free before we end the show, lock the doors, and talk spoilers.
Yeah.
What are your spoiler-free thoughts, John?
Yeah, not much to say spoiler-free, honestly. I mean, it was too short.
yeah.
This one clocked in at like 33 minutes or something. So it started out, you know, at 52 minutes on episode one, dropped to like 46 by number two. You know, I think by the time we get to episode six, it's going to be like 8 minutes long. yeah, it's hard to really comment too much on this without spoilers. Obviously, at least in my mind, so far it's the best episode of season two. I know we're only three episodes in, so... That's not saying a whole lot, but this was, I thought, a great episode. It's directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, so this is her second outing with The Mandalorian. Did you catch the...
Did you see Ron Howard tweet out about her?
No.
Oh, yeah, he tweeted out like that she had directed that and everything.
Oh, okay.
And, like, he was really proud of it and stuff.
Well, did you catch the Apollo 13 Easter egg in this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. We'll talk about it in spoilers. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I do remember thinking that and watching.
Well, when they're coming in, I mean, this isn't a spoiler thing. So, like, when they're coming into, you know, like in the beginning of the episode where the Razor Crest is landing and it's coming in hot and it's burning up through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It kind of cuts to the dashboard where, you know, like, the ice has melted and it's like dripping down the instrument panel. And that's pretty much like a shot for shot remake of Apollo 13. So, you know, so obviously, you know, there's a family connection there with her and Ron Howard. So
it's funny during that, I was wondering if she was directing. I don't know if I knew that at the time.
I didn't know it at the time either. I didn't really catch most of this until after the fact.
But
apparently some people tweeted at her right after the show or during the show.
Yeah.
Asking her if it was intentional and, you know,
we'll get into that in spoilers too. Cause I also love that scene. I think it's
confirmed that it was.
that scene was hysterical.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was.
It was great.
But yeah, I don't, you know, spoiler free, nothing else to say. If you're not watching it, watch it. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's, I know a lot, and that's why, you know, I thought we would do spoiler free because I know some people are waiting till the end and they're going to binge the whole thing, but this, you know, episode three is where it really ramps up. We talked spoilers on episode two and we really didn't give anything away.
No, there wasn't.
Nothing. This one here really is going to play forward. And I mean, spoiler free, we could still ask questions like how quickly does it ramp from here? Or do they tease us more? We don't know. We don't, you know, that's.
Well, I have a thought on that, but I can't go into it.
Right.
Until...
But it's like, but you know how they play things. I mean, it's only eight episodes, so they can't tease us too long. Right. But I wouldn't be surprised if the next episode we're all like, oh, come on.
Oh, I can almost guarantee you we will be.
Yeah.
I have, you know, I have a reason why. So we'll, like
oh,
said, we'll
good.
Talk about it.
Oh, very interesting. Oh, I'm even teased now. Look at that.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, I bring the tease.
Definitely. All right. That's enough of that. All right. What do we got? Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, you ready to wrap up the show then? And we'll lock the door and get back into our Mandalorian 5 minutes?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, so this was actually the closest to our Mandalorian minute that we ever got.
Right. Exactly. If you don't want to check it out, keeping the spoilers away, so yeah. You just shut us off. That you know how to. You know how it works.
If you keep going, it's on you.
It's on you. In the meantime, let us know on Twitter or email. I'll pass all messages on to John. What do you think of what it seems like hours ago, John, we were talking about Wonder Woman. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. What are you going to go to the movies? Are you going to watch it on HBO Max? Are you going to do both? What are you going to do? And which are you going to do first? Also, please go on Nerdy Legion and check out all the great podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast subscriber, because we could really use those. It helps boost our ratings. And, you know, John and I are all about the ratings.
We are. That's why we do this.
One of these days we're going to find out where those ratings are. I have no idea.
Exactly. Right.
It's like, I just know people respond to us and we're happy to be talking to people. So, okay, it's working. So that'll do it. Till next week. John, are we even doing a show next week?
I'm not sure.
Thanksgiving
yet.
Eve.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm available.
I may have some cooking and some stuff to do. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear.
Oh boy.
I'll let
tuned.
You know Monday or Thanksgiving. Monday or so.
It'll be coming out Thanksgiving morning, but we gotta
it would,
Wednesday
yes.
night. So all right, you heard it. On the edge of your seat, people.
That's right. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And locking the door in a second.
Well, take care if you're leaving. If you're staying, talk to you in a minute.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is the door locked?
It is.
Perfect. All right, now, enough with the teasing. Enough with the... do you want to talk about that opening scene that I found hysterical? Or what do you,
yeah,
where
go
do
ahead.
We want to go?
Go ahead. Sorry, might as well start at the beginning.
Why? We never do.
Well...
we're breaking our
trend. We usually start at the beginning, but then we jump straight to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so it's the middle we have trouble with.
The meat of the sandwich is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, so yeah, that beginning was pretty funny because you'd think, I'm just thinking of this right now, but it's very much like the Roadrunner scene where you think, well, the Mandalorian's the Mandalorian. He's pretty sophisticated. He's going to land this bad boy.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden he just like pitches and keels over and just goes around. I did not see that coming.
No, I didn't either.
I laughed out loud. This
yeah.
episode, I literally laughed out loud. I yelled out loud at one another scene. I thought it was just fantastic. But that when he pitched, I thought that was such great comic relief. It's like,
oh yeah,
the
and then he like falls right. He falls off the landing pad.
That's why, like, he never hits the landing pad. He's just
well, I think
about
he, didn't
to
he bounce
down.
Off it.
I think
he bounced off it.
I thought he just pitched over it.
And maybe
like,
he did.
He was about to hit. Like, all he had to do, it seemed to me in my memory, is like just cut the engines and he would have dropped on it.
Right.
But instead, he like just shot up and over and went straight down into the water.
Yeah. And I love the AT-AT crane.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Here's $1,000. Well, we can put fuel in it.
Yeah. Gave you 1,000 credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good opening scene.
All right, that's it. No.
Yeah, no, that's it.
No. You think that they're not going to go right into the next part of the story. You think we're not getting Ahsoka Tano in the next episode.
I would say we do not. And the reason why is because episode 5, which is in 2 weeks, is directed by Dave Filoni. And Dave Filoni
Ooh,
created Ahsoka Tano on the Clone Wars. So I would not think that he would let somebody else have her live action debut.
Good call.
There is a small chance that you get like a shadow or peek of her at the very end of episode 4, but I would be surprised if we saw her before episode 5. And then I would be shocked if we didn't get her in that episode.
Right.
Because he is directing it. So I almost would like I'd bet my house on it, you know, that's when we see her. So
I can't wait for Friday morning.
Yeah.
Like, John, you just lost your house.
Keep in mind, I don't own my house. The bank does. So
right. Exactly. I would let you pay off my house.
Exactly. If you get it, it's really the debt that you're getting. Right. So
yeah, that's funny.
But yeah. And that's the reason why. I mean, from a story perspective, they want to tease it, you know, keep us coming back as much as they can. But from a practical perspective, you know, it's his, you know, it's his baby, you know,
you're right.
Ahsoka. So,
right. That's a great call.
I think that's when we see her, but yeah, man, like I was like you, like I was beside myself when, you know, Bo-Katan showed up, even though we knew she was coming.
I'd forgotten. I had no idea. And my mind, I was thinking it was when they first came down, cause it was such a flash. I was thinking it was Sabine. I was thinking it was, I had all these and I,
yeah.
Joe and I watched it together. And that was the first time out. Usually I watch it first thing in the morning, but Joe happened to be home early in the morning and we're like, he was actually going to work with me. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And I yelled out when they came down to rescue them, and I was like, yes!
Joe's like,
what the hell? I'm like, oh yeah, you haven't seen Rebels?
Yeah, I was saying, I could tell it wasn't Sabine because the color, you know, the armor was not, I mean, it looked like Bo-Katan's armor, but see, you know, we were teased, both of them. Like, I expect Sabine and Bo-Katan to show up at some point in the season, so it could have been either one of them, but.
See, I didn't know if
Sabine was always, colorful. She looks more like the graffiti art.
Right, but I didn't know if they took liberties with that.
Right.
In that action scene, I didn't know which one. But then when she takes her helmet, I mean, it's her. She played Bo-Katan in the comic.
Yeah, Katie Sackhoff voiced
in the animated series.
Yeah, she voiced her in the animated series. And I believe, this was on a different podcast that I listened to, but I think, you know, they confirmed that this was the first time that a character in Star Wars has transitioned from animated to live action played by the same person. It's never happened before. Now we've seen it, like Saw Gerrera showed up first in Rogue One,
that's
but
true.
he wasn't played in the cartoon by Forrest Whitaker. So this
sure?
is the first time. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't him.
Oh.
So this is the first time we've seen like the same same actor / actress play the same character.
They say actor now for everybody.
They say actor for everything. That's why I said that. But yeah, so, and yeah, of course she looked just like the cartoon. I mean, it was like spot on.
Right. Well, they do draw the cartoons to look like the people that they're speaking. So that helps, but the haircut, the band, everything that, you know, her artwork, it was, I was just blown away.
Yeah.
And it's
and
like, then, it took me time to figure out who was who, because Joe's like, who's that? I'm like,
well, so I knew excited. Bo-Katan. I don't think either one of the other two were characters from Clone Wars. Like, I don't think we had seen either, or it wasn't Clone Wars. I keep saying
it was Rebels.
It was Rebels. Yeah, it was Rebels.
Yeah.
And you know,
but I got that
only,
mixed up
the only
too.
Criticism I have is that, I don't even know if I could say it's a criticism, but like, if you haven't watched Rebels, you're a little lost on the significance of Bo-Katan. You know, because she has that interaction with Moff Gideon, and she doesn't mention the Darksaber specifically, but you know what she's talking about if you have watched Rebels. If you haven't, then you're probably a little lost on this.
Right.
Now, like what I was saying is, you know, if you're a huge Star Wars fan, you know, you've probably watched Rebels. Although, I consider myself a huge fan, and I didn't watch it till this year, so.
Right.
But, like, like I was saying, for instance, Lydia hasn't watched Rebels, so she doesn't know anything about this. Like the significance of her in that moment, and I guess you mentioned Joe hasn't seen it either. So, like, I don't know how they feel about her showing up. You know,
oh, I know.
Because it doesn't mean anything to them. It's just a it's just a cool character that showed up that's another Mandalorian. But, like, if you've watched Rebels, it's huge. You know, and I feel like if you don't know Rebels, the rest of this season isn't going to mean as much to you as it will to the rest of us. You know?
Right.
Because they also don't know Ahsoka, and they don't know any of the other stuff that's coming.
Well, Ahsoka's from... Well, from Clone Wars.
But again, I would say if you haven't watched Rebels, you probably haven't watched Clone Wars either. I think if you watched one, you kind of went right into the other one.
Yeah. I mean, she does mention the dark... She says Darksaber when
But I don't think she... I don't remember. I think when she was talking to Gideon, I thought she just said, you know, where is it or something. She kept saying, where is it? But I don't remember her specifically saying...
Does he have it, the Darksaber? Yeah. I thought she actually said the Darksaber, and he's like...
Maybe she did, but...
Yeah, I thought she said it, and because he says, well, if you're asking, then you know.
Right.
Zach, one of our listeners, and he's lived up here, but now he's serving on the border down in Mexico right now. He's in the Guards.
Oh, yeah.
He got moved down there. But anyways, he texted me, and he's like, so the Mandalorian's part of Death Watch? And I'm like, oh, kind of, because that's what they were.
Well, Bo-Katan was part of Death Watch.
That's what I mean. And it seems like that's the group she has with her now. But, I mean, I think that's all kind of broken up. They're doing their – the way I read it anyways.
Well, right, because at this point it was formerly Death Watch. Like, I don't think they're Death Watch now.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But what did you think of that part of the storyline that, like, the Mandalorian, it's – you know, I don't mean to be blasphemous, but the Mandalorian, it isn't the way. That's just one sect.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, because honestly, this was new to us. Like, the Mandalorian season one, where he talks about never removing the mask, that's the first time we've ever heard that. Because every time we've seen a Mandalorian prior to that, they've had no problem taking their helmets off. Like, every Mandalorian we saw through all the cartoons always took their helmets off.
Right. So, okay. You mean the way you mean the show?
Just the shows in general. Like, we've always seen Mandalorians without their helmets. So when we see when the Mandalorian show started last year and he says they never take it off, that was new to us.
Right.
So, you know, it was a little bit of a contradiction, but, you know, like I said, she says, like, he's part of a, like, a sect that broke off generations ago. They were kind of like zealots, and they just happened to be the ones that raised him in their way, and that's all he knows. You know, that's not the Mandalore way, really. Not anymore. So what is going to be interesting to me is going forward, if he adopts the strategy of taking his helmet off. Like, I don't know if he will or not. Like, he didn't, obviously in this episode he didn't, but if they spend more time together and he actually goes to Mandalore or what have you, will we see him? And, you know, Pedro would welcome that, right? Because he would love to be on the screen without his mask on. So.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see. It'd be interesting
he has already been on screen without his.
Well, one, right. Yeah. But
not in front of a person.
But he had a very bad reaction to them not wearing their helmets. Like,
well, because up until this
episode, he wasn't accepting of that at all. So
right, but he thinks anybody that takes their helmet off up until this episode, he thinks they're imposters.
Well, right, but that's what I'm saying.
This is the first time he's learning that you can be a Mandalore and take your helmet off. Because actually, isn't Bo-Katan, she's more Mandalorian than he is.
Right. He's not technically Mandalorian.
He's a foundling.
Right. He's a foundling and he was raised as Mandalorian, but he's never been to Mandalore. He doesn't know. Again, all he knows is what he was taught by this cult, basically.
Sect.
When the leader gets sentenced to 120 years in jail, is he going to start taking his helmet off? You know, that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think for the actor's perspective, it would be a way for them to transition him out of his helmet all the time. and make it, you know, make it make sense, because, you know, he could see the, you know, maybe he'll see the way that, you know, what he was following was wrong.
Be and, able to eat more.
Exactly. You know, I don't know how he eats at all, you know.
Well, he has to eat alone.
Yeah.
He takes it off.
Yeah, it's just right. Not just, when... just not around anybody.
Right.
But.
Speaking of eating, when the baby Yoda ate the porridge and that thing jumped on his
that
face.
That was pretty funny.
I was like, what are you saying? A lot of live food.
Yeah.
In this show,
not even
episode, just the show. It's like they eat everything alive, or at least Baby Yoda does.
What I thought was funny is, like, Frog Lady, like, all of a sudden they understand each other. You know what I mean? It's like they don't speak the same language, but all of a sudden he just
understanding. Yeah,
you know, he just shows up at their house and says, "Okay, I'm dropping the kid off," and they apparently know what he's doing and understand that he's dropping the kid off. It's interesting how quickly he's able to find babysitters, because, like, everywhere he goes, he has no trouble dropping that kid off with pretty much strangers, you know?
Right.
He's always dumping that kid off.
Very trusting on the, on the ship. That was a mistake.
Well, yeah.
And that was a shock. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that was
interesting. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, get a little closer. And then they whip Baby Yoda into the water. And I didn't see that coming.
Wow.
I didn't see that coming.
But that set up that great reveal, though.
Right.
That
obviously
was so cool. Them coming down. Then when they came down the second time and saved them in that, like, warehouse or whatever.
Right.
And came in and, like, we have your back and everything. That was really, really cool. I can't wait for this week's.
Yeah, and honestly, lots
like
of action.
Said, like,
this was a great, like, there was great action in this episode, you know. Like, I thought it was really, it was really kind of intense and really well done, so.
It's such a good, I think we've talked longer than the episode was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's our 5 minutes for sure.
Right. So, all right, you got anything else? That was a great idea, though, that episode 5.
I think that's the number.
Because of
Dave
Filoni.
That's the one.
That's awesome. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And now that you said that, I agree with you. I'd be shocked if she showed up this week.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't. I mean,
now if they really want to surprise us, she will show up this week,
right?
Because
that's what I mean. Yeah. But maybe I don't know. Is he that attached to the character that I don't know.
It's gonna
be great though.
I mean, that's his baby, so I would say so. I mean, the whole show is his baby, but if you're gonna direct 2 episodes in the season, you would think you would plan that out.
Well, it's Favreau's show.
Right.
And he brought Filoni in because of, you know, his history with the Clone Wars and doing everything there. But, yeah.
Actually, I think this is the only episode he directs this season. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so. So it just makes sense. Right. And, you know, honestly, if we would have looked at the directorial lineup prior to the season started, we probably could have guessed that that's where she was going to show up, you know.
Probably.
A couple of months ago, you know. It's like, oh, he's directing episode 5. That's where Ahsoka comes in, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Could be. Yeah. Well, that'll be cool. And hopefully now, after that, does she stick around? Or is it a one episode deal and then...
I hope so. I hope she does. Because again,
it's a great story.
At the end of this episode, you know, he's parted ways with Bo-Katan, right? Like... Same thing with Timothy Oliphant, you know.
Right.
But her story's going to go on, and obviously Moff Gideon has the Darksaber, so we're going to see more of Bo-Katan. So somehow...
Yeah, because she's after him.
Right, but somehow the Mandalorian, who's now in a different path, is still going to cross paths back with them again. So something's going to happen to bring them back around. And I would imagine Ahsoka is probably the one that brings them there. I don't know, you know.
Ties it all together? Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's...
You know, the thing is, unfortunately, once she shows up, we're going to want her to be a permanent part of the show, and she's not going to be.
Oh, of course.
You know? So how much we get?
I can't wait to see what she looks like in real.
Yeah, how much we get is going to be inevitably not enough, but I think we'll probably see her for the remainder of the season, because I think the story is going to dictate that they, you know, his mission.
Trying not to.
His mission is her. You know, is to bring the child back to the Jedi. So. Like, I don't think she just gets him there in 30 minutes and then...
But she's not a Jedi.
No, but
so
she'll know where
she's going to have to help him to get to the Jedi.
Right.
So...
Which at this point, there aren't any more, right? Like, at this point, there's only Luke and Obi-Wan. She probably doesn't...
Obi-Wan's gone.
Oh, that's right. Obi-Wan's dead.
Luke's the only one left.
But she may have background into the child's... origins, you know. I think that's more what we'll see is her getting
well,
him.
Well, no, there's also is it Ezra?
Well, there's Ezra who isn't a Jedi, but you know he was training.
But he's
He was training with Kanan,
right?
Who is dead at this point too, right? So
right.
But does Ahsoka know about Luke? You know, does she even know Luke exists at this point? So
no.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not saying
right.
No,
right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. You don't know.
We don't know because you don't know how famous Luke is, like throughout the galaxy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
He's pretty famous in the Skywalker saga story.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. but like, I don't know if it's widely known throughout the galaxy that he's a Jedi. So
right.
Like, she doesn't know at this point that there are any Jedi left. But like I said, she may have
history.
Well, this
is 5 years after, this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So there's gotta be some stories going on what took down the Empire.
Well, I would think, right. That's why I'm saying he's probably,
Skywalker.
He probably does have some fame out there, especially in the circles that she would probably travel in, that she would hear about that. But
there's also gonna be other Jedi spread out from, like, cause, Order 66 didn't wipe out every single Jedi. Like, some survived. We just don't know of a few. We don't know all of them.
Right.
Right? So they could pop up anybody.
Well, they could.
And just say, this guy survived. But the ones that we have names to, we know Ezra's training as a Jedi.
Right.
That's the closest we have other than Luke. I don't know of... I'm trying to even think from the series, any... other Jedi that we may have been exposed to, but I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see who they
well,
tie
right.
in.
And again, we don't even know where Ezra is at this point because he's off with I can't think of his name now. Blue guy.
From the Bad Batch?
No. The blue guy. Thrawn.
Scruffy creature.
Thrawn. Yeah. Him and Thrawn are kind of lost together, so like we don't even know. Like I said, we don't know what's going on with Ezra. So,
but he's the closest we have to this story of a Jedi,
right?
So we'll see. One last thing, I wanted to bring the bright side to, like, say, episode 2, which everybody's like, we got to get on with the story. It's like this is part of the ride. You got to have that little bit of a lull before you build. I thought episode 1 was really good. We had Boba Fett or a clone.
Right.
You know, we discussed that. Most likely Boba Fett. That was kind of a high. It was the first episode, so we were super psyched to get anything, right? Then we have the nice little story in 2, but everybody's like, I want this to go on. But now, I mean, if they just hit us with 3... it wouldn't have felt as such a big of a jump because you wouldn't have had that little lull in the roller coaster ride.
Right,
you
know but I mean? Think we're going to get another sidetrack next week before we get back to the story again. Because if we don't see Ahsoka until episode 5, then something has to happen this week, you know? I actually saw a great analogy to this this week. That, you know, you're not really a big video game player, but... you know, in a lot of the MMOs, you have side quests, you know? Well, even in Spider-Man, you have your main story and you have all these side quests. And, like, episode 2 was a side quest. You know, it's like He knows he has to go fight Kingpin, but instead he's picking up backpacks all over New York. That's what episode 2 was, and that's probably what episode 4 is going to be. So I just thought that was a really good analogy, because that is exactly what's happening in this season, you know? You have the main story, but they keep getting sidetracked and doing all these things.
And that's how you build a story, though. That's how you build anticipation and, you know, and a big reveal. You don't just give everybody everything all at once.
Well, because the difference is, this is a TV show. It is not a three-hour movie. And there's a difference. Because if you go to a movie, you don't expect all these side quests, you know, in your two-hour movie.
Or even if you get one, it's still like you're still part of it. You don't have to wait a week to get the next part.
But in a TV show that's episodic, that's what happens. That's the TV formula. So, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I was a little bit in that camp last week, too, because I just want to get to it. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a good episode. Like, I enjoyed it, and I enjoy seeing the universe expanded into places we haven't been before. But I also – like, I'm just I just want to get to Ahsoka. Like, I just want to get to the story. I want the fight with Gideon. You know, I mean, I want all that stuff. So, I'm just a little impatient when it comes to that. But I'm still going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to enjoy the ride along the way. But I wouldn't be unhappy if all 8 episodes all had the, you know, were just the main story. Like, that wouldn't have bothered me. So.
Right. What was it? Was it the end of Rebels that we just ended the season? Or was that the end of Clone Wars when we had?
Yeah.
Yeah. The season 7. That's right.
Right. Because that's how we felt.
The last 4 episodes were unreal.
Right. But that's how we felt for the first 8. It was just like, well, this is okay, but I just want to get there, you know?
Oh, I think wasn't it 6?
No, it was 8, because there was 4 episodes of The Bad Batch, and then there was 4 episodes of The Sisters that
I thought it was 3 and 3.
That I don't remember their names. And then we got 4 episodes at the end, which dealt with the story we cared about. So
that was those 4 episodes are a movie.
Right. They were phenomenal. They were phenomenal.
We just want that.
But that's all you wanted. Like, I would skip 8 episodes of season 7 and just get to the stuff I care about. You know, if I was rewatching it again, I would skip right over those first 8 episodes.
Oh, absolutely. So. I might do that anyway.
Right.
So, all right. All right. I think we've beat this to death.
I think we have. Yeah, it's great.
I could
if you're
talk
not watching
more.
It, you should be.
Well, if you're not watching it, you're
well,
not
right, that's true. If you're listening to this, you are watching it, but
right. So. All right. That'll do it. That'll do it for this week. Hopefully we're back next week. If not, have a great Thanksgiving. And if we'll see you in 2 weeks, but hopefully next week.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Like I said, we'll see. I'm not quite sure what's going on yet, but I'll know better in a couple days.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.